Hello, my beautiful people, and welcome back. My name's Hannah Hutchinson. I am your host and your conflict coach. And if you follow me on any of my social medias, then you may already know that we are starting the Compassion series this week. It's been about a month since I've been here with you guys. And if we're being honest, I just want to take a minute and take a deep breath. There's a lot going on. Politically, yes, and that comes in waves, but also socially, economically, psychologically, environmentally. But it's really, really important for me to tell you guys before we talk about any of these things that we are only built to handle a few things at once. Just like all of you, I would love to believe that we are built to multitask to the max, but that's genuinely not what our brains are built to do. And if we're going to live a life that allows us to have a nervous system that can settle, that doesn't stay in fight or flight mode, then we have to be willing to be selective about where our energy goes and what we're demanding of ourselves and of the people around us. Every single one of us gets an individual choice. We each get to decide what we give our energy to. And we can split that up however we see fit. It's our choice. Now, you guys, I need you to understand that the reason life feels so complicated and the reason all of these issues that are dividing us feel so complex is because they are. Every piece of our life and everything we experience is laced with nuance, okay? There are several different segments of life, areas of life, and depending on what research you look at, some will say there are 5, some will say there are 17, but most of them agree on some of the main ones. Health, money, career, relationships, personal development, spirituality, leisure, and environment. Some research divvies those up into groups, some breaks them down even further, but for the most part, those are all the things that get touched on when we talk about areas of life. The things that all of us are required to give some of our energy to in order to be functional, well-rounded members of society. So when it comes to things like social issues, political issues, religious issues, these things that permeate us individually and also everyone else in society in different ways, of course there's going to be a little bit of clash. The fact that people aren't in agreement should not be surprising to any of us. But as I talk about this with my friends and we talk about our experiences advocating for the things we believe in on social media, regardless of the side or place on the spectrum we reside, we're getting hate. And people are being mean. And that sounds so elementary. But I think that's what makes it so shocking that in 2025, we are still going online and being actively disrespectful to other people instead of having a dialogue about where the differences lie and why that may be. I have friends who are getting hate for speaking up. I have friends who are getting hate for not speaking up. I have friends who are getting hate for speaking up wrong, getting hate for speaking up in private, getting hate for speaking up in public, getting hate for protesting, getting hate for staying silent. This is happening on all sides and from all sides. But like, I guess my question is, why is that our only option? Now, let me be very clear. I am not here to talk about political opinion. I'm not here to talk about the specific issues that are dividing us. Me talking about how to facilitate these conversations better does not require me to give input about my opinion on the topics. But just like we all should be, I am open to changing what I believe if I hear new information. Anyway, people are getting hate for speaking up, and I'm trying to figure out why we're spending our energy tearing people down when that energy could be put into educating and communicating and being curious and learning more and opening our mind. Is that a hot take? Am I crazy? Because the way we're all trying to spew quote unquote facts at each other and just flood each other's minds and hearts with shame and guilt is not sitting well with me. And it's giving 2020. I don't know if you guys remember the social landscape, but it was tough out there. And the fact that this kind of thing has been a topic of conversation and we've been trying to quote unquote fix this messed up social dynamic for going on 5 years, and if you ask historians, going on much, much, much longer than that, is insane to me. I'm so tired of this kind of thing being the topic of discussion. Almost every single belief system out there agrees that the basis of our role here on Earth should be to love other people and to treat them in ways that we would like to be treated. And the reason we get so heated about topics like this is because we believe so wholeheartedly in the things that matter to us that we want other people to change their minds. But that's not how people work. People aren't going to change what they believe for the same reasons that you believe what you believe. Let me say that again. The reasons that you believe the things you believe may not be the same reasons that are going to convince somebody else to believe that thing. In fact, there's not a way for you to know what you need to say or do or explain to somebody else in order to change their mind. And you especially cannot disrespect someone else into changing their mind and believing the things you believe. You can't disrespect someone into thinking what you think. You can't disrespect someone into caring about what you care about. You can't disrespect someone into prioritizing what you prioritize. You can't disrespect someone into speaking up in the ways that you speak up, or into advocating in the ways that you advocate. Fill in the blank. Healthy, productive, empathetic, compassionate discourse is always going to be the best route forward. And that contains curiosity. If you're not curious about why the other person or the other people or the other group believes what they believe, then you are not going to gain the education that they have that makes them believe what they believe. And let's remember, that goes the other way as well. If they're not curious about why you believe what you believe, and they don't give you the chance to explain why you believe what you believe with an open mind, then they are not going to hear you when you tell them to believe that thing. But let's be real. There are times when healthy discourse is just not possible. Or maybe where it's just not worth it. But if the presence of that, the presence of that incompatibility, the presence of that mismatch with someone in your life, if the presence of that, that energy mismatch is affecting you negatively, it's still your responsibility to do something about it. And that doesn't mean change their mind. It means set your boundaries. The second we get complacent and we decide we have no power and we decide we have no role in the way other people treat us, or especially the way we treat other people, that's when helplessness kicks in. That's when victim mentality kicks in. And that's when you lose complete autonomy over the relationships you have and the life that you're living. If you've listened to any of my podcast episodes, or if you've followed me on social media for any amount of time, you've probably heard me say that the only thing we can control is ourselves. We cannot and should not try to control other people, the way they choose to react or act or behave or speak or engage. But we can control how we respond to whatever it is that they choose to do. It all of it, all of our relationships, the health of every single relationship we have, from a marriage to a child to a boss at work, to an acquaintance we see on our run every day. All of these relationships, the health of them comes down to us, the boundaries we set, and what we teach other people about the way they can treat us. A lot of times when we hear the phrase, it starts with self, we start worrying that that's gonna make us selfish. We don't think we're supposed to prioritize ourselves, so why would, in a relationship, why would it start with self? It doesn't make sense logically that we are at the root of everyone else. That seems a bit narcissistic. But I think the phrase, it starts with self, is a little bit misleading. Because it's not wrong, but division in society, in the world, in our relationships, in our life, in our school, in any capacity, comes from when we get very, very desperate to feel seen or heard or understood by someone we're just not compatible with. And believe it or not, that's human nature. How are we ever supposed to find the people that we are compatible with if we don't weed out the ones we aren't compatible with? It's the only way to do it. There's no other way to know. It's part of the human experience. And especially for people who historically or systemically have not been seen or heard or understood or represented. There are a lot of complex layers there that are, like I said at the beginning of this, very nuanced. There's so much there that someone who has not directly experienced that or witnessed the effects of that on someone they love will not understand without a level of curiosity and open-mindedness to the fact that you may not understand, and that is okay. It's up to you to gain as much information as you need to feel confident in where you stand. But overall, that need to feel seen, heard, loved, understood, regardless of whether we're compatible or not, is part of who we are. And naturally, our nervous system is going to get disrupted when we feel like those needs aren't getting met. Our nervous system gets disrupted when these pillars of our being and of our functionality as humans get damaged or destroyed, especially by things out of our control. But part of emotional intelligence is being able to sit in that discomfort, to have uncomfortable conversations, to ask hard questions and work hard to figure out the answers without letting your emotions get the best of you and make rash decisions. You get to decide what you assign meaning to. And if you're intentionally responding accordingly, then you're not reacting emotionally. Those are opposites, and we can't do them at the same time. So it's okay to decide you're not compatible. It's okay to learn something new about somebody or some people and think, wow, I didn't know that, and now my opinion has changed. It's okay to learn something new about someone and go, okay, maybe they shouldn't have as much influence on my life as they do right now. But that doesn't mean that you have to cut these people off. Don't get me wrong. Yes, there are people that absolutely need to be cut off. If someone is consistently draining your energy and never pouring back into you, that person is not a positive influence on your life, and that person should not have influence on your life. And for a lot of people, that is equivalent to them being cut off, because why would you maintain a relationship with someone who is only taking and never giving in terms of the energy flow in the relationship? And most of the time, I would support that. I would say that that's true. There is no reason to maintain that relationship. But this idea that you're allowed to cut people off and it's okay to outgrow people, while that is true, please hear me, that is true, it is not the only solution. We act like there's this dichotomy of only having really, really close friends or people we don't associate with. And I want to remind you that we have very, very close friends. We have friends. We have long distance friends. We have acquaintances. We have coworkers. We have classmates. We have old friends. We have brand new friends. We have college friends. We have family friends. And these are just the ones we have labels for. You can have three very, very equally close friends that play very different roles in your life. And of course, I'm using the example of friend relationships because that's very widely applicable. But this is applicable to almost any type of relationship. There are times where it's a workplace relationship, so we can't cut those people off. That's just not an option. We have to coexist. There are times where it's a family relationship where we're not emotionally ready to do the work of cutting that person off. There are other things that need our attention and that need our priority. And so that process would cause more trauma than keeping the person in your life at a distance. These are very specific examples, but you get to decide what happens when you learn something new about somebody that changes your opinion of that person, which, let me say again, is allowed. We don't want to do the thing in the middle of being really close or being completely separated, because that involves having a hard conversation where you actually discuss the differences you have, and you discuss the things that make you feel funny. You discuss the things you may not be aligned or compatible in. And people don't want to do that because it's uncomfortable. And let me remind you once again that in order to have these conversations, everyone involved has to be willing to have these conversations, which is not always the case. In those types of situations, the conversation can't be had. Again, you can only control you. And that still doesn't mean you have to cut the person off. We've created this idea that it's one or the other, and it's not. We really should be seeing this in phases. Okay, when you meet somebody, you're introduced to someone, you start learning about them, that person enters your life in whatever capacity, that person is there. You're gaining information. This is the learning phase. After that, you build a connection. This is the connection phase. You find the things you are similar about and you bond over those things. Connection, bonding. After that, there's an existence phase where you are living your individual lives at the same time, and those timelines are crossing, they're intersecting. You are a part of each other's lives while things are changing for you individually. For some people, that compatibility gets maintained. For other people, they grow apart. All of this is a normal part of human experience, and it's normal over time for your compatibility with someone to fluctuate as you gain information and as you change as a person. In this existence phase, there are times where you can be pushed into a distance phase. And these distance phases can be permanent or they can be temporary, and that is completely up to you and fate, God, the universe, chance, whatever you choose to believe in. But it is okay to distance yourself from someone if you no longer want them to be part of your circle of influence. Your circle of influence is the circle of people that you keep close to you, that you allow in on your decision-making, your thought processes, your emotional processing, the big changes and small changes in your life. These are the people that you keep involved because they have a positive impact and keep you growing and moving forward, keep you supported, keep you feeling like your needs are met, like you're loved, like you're heard, like you're seen, understood. These are the people in your circle of influence. And if you're learning something about someone that's in your circle of influence that tells you that that person is no longer the positive influence that you thought that they were, and they're not going to hold you accountable, they're going to criticize you, they're not going to support you, they're going to judge you, they don't care about what's going on, they're just nosy. If these are things you're learning about someone in your circle of influence, then you are incompatible and it is okay to distance yourself from that person. Now, compassion. A lot of us are very avoidant, and for a lot of us, the easiest way to distance ourselves from someone, whether that's cutting them off or just distancing them from our circle of influence, the easiest way is to just change the way we treat them and hope they get the message. And I get it. That is the least amount of work. But in order for a relationship to remain healthy during a distance phase, there needs to be some sort of closure to the existence phase. Whether that's a conversation between you, or even sometimes an argument can provide that closure and keep a relationship healthy because at least everyone's on the same page. I used to say, you know, speaking of changing your mind when you have no information, I used to say conflict is inevitable, but hating it doesn't have to be. And over time, I've kind of learned that it's unrealistic to ask anyone not to hate conflict. And getting in arguments, getting in fights, saying things we don't mean, while those are things we should always try not to do, it's still normal. I still do it. My husband still does it. People in my life who have done all the work on their emotional intelligence and are amazing friends and amazing partners still do it. And sometimes even having an argument can be productive and it can be healthy, because it's not always about what you do in the moment. Sometimes it's about the repair that comes after. The repair attempt you make after you do the wrong thing is just as important as doing the right thing the first time around. Because believe it or not, humans tend to have grace for other humans, but when we're not on the same page and we can't get on the same page, we're not going to be focused on whether or not we're giving grace. We're going to be focused on getting those needs met, being seen, being heard, being loved, being understood. And when those aren't met, then we can't have a productive dialogue about not being on the same page. Because when our needs aren't met, our self-preservation is kicking in. The way to set boundaries and the way to distance yourself and the way to manage these changing relationships with compassion is to be willing to do the hard work and communicate and get closure and get on the same page so that instead of throwing disrespect, we're sharing mutual respect. But I have to remind myself, and let this be your reminder too, that we've been put here on this earth at this time. Whether you believe in God or the universe or chance, you're here. What we can do to make our time here and everyone else's time here a little bit better is figure out what we believe, figure out why we believe it, and go live that out unashamedly every single day as much as you can, advocating for the causes you choose without hurting other people in the process. Okay, my phone literally died in the middle of that. Everything's fine. We're right on track. What I was saying was that I used to say conflict is inevitable, but hating it doesn't have to be. And I'm realizing now we're going to hate it. Those uncomfortable conversations, sitting in that discomfort, that piece of emotional intelligence and emotional maturity is hard and it sucks. But healthy relationships, being on the same page with the people we care about, even if we're not on the same page as the people we care about, I think that is so settling to our nervous system because we feel heard, seen, loved, understood. When those needs are met, everything else is a little bit easier. Everything else is a little more doable, a little bit more manageable. It makes a little more sense. It's a little easier to empathize and understand because our nervous system isn't fighting to get our needs met before we can focus on anything else. So when you find yourself in the situation where you know you have to adjust your relationship with somebody and you really don't feel like you want to talk to them about it, you're like, I'd rather just leave it and hope it goes away. Sometimes, yeah, if it's really not worth your energy, if your nervous system is able to settle without having that conversation and your energy's not being drained by it and everything's good on your end, then it may genuinely not be worth the energy it takes to engage with that. But most of the time, if it's a relationship that you care about being salvageable at any point in the future, it's important to have conversations that allow you to get on the same page with that person or with those people or with that group so that in the future, there was no disrespect. If you think about your relationships with people like something that you're building, and every interaction you have, everything you learn, every fight that you have, everything that happens between you and that person builds another layer onto the thing that you're building. The positive engagements, the healthy engagements, those things are brick and mortar. Those are strong. They're bound together and they make the thing that you're building strong and stable. But a fight, a negative interaction, or complete avoidance and unwillingness to engage with the relationship, those layers are weak. And if you try to build more healthy, stable layers on top of that, it's going to crumble. And so we don't want to interject any weak, negative, fragile layers into the building of our friendship and of our relationships, our co-workerships, any of these things. We want them to be strong and sturdy. And sometimes it takes a difficult conversation, an uncomfortable conversation, to create a really strong, sturdy, stable layer. All that to say, please remember that cutting somebody off is not your only option. It is just one of your options. I know a lot of us know about the let them theory. And if you haven't actually read the book or looked really deep into the theory, you may believe that it just revolves around letting people do what they want to do and then you doing what you want to do. And if it lines up, it lines up. If it doesn't, not your problem. And that's not true. The second half of the let them theory is let me. And what the let me portion of the theory explains is that if you're going to let someone do them and you're going to detach and distance from that, then you also have to do work in yourself and you have to do what needs done. You have to take the initiative. It's not a let them and leave it. It's a let them and let me communicate where I'm at. Let me make sure you know that I'm not fully available to you right now. Let me set my boundaries in a way that's compassionate and understanding. Let me ask questions about why they think that so maybe we can find some common ground. Let me take whatever action I need to take in order for my nervous system to be okay with me letting them do whatever they want to do. So that is all for this week. The compassion series is going to continue onto next week, and we're going to talk about what to do with the relationships that have already been damaged by all of the things that have gone on in our socio-political climate and the damage that that's done to relationships. And we're going to talk about exactly what that means and what are the things we can do, what are the things we can't do, what are the things we can control, what are the things we can't control. What does that repair look like? Even if the repair isn't exactly getting things back to where they were, just getting things to a place where everyone's happy about it. Is that possible? What do you guys think? Let's talk about it next week. As always, I'm Hannah, your host and your conflict coach, and this was the Unconflicted Podcast. As a quick reminder, this podcast is for educational and personal insight purposes only. It is not a substitute for therapy or mental health treatment. Please use discernment. Not all advice is meant for everyone. Take what serves you and leave the rest. Any sources or references mentioned in today's episode can be found in the show notes wherever you're watching or listening. And for story submissions, business inquiries, or feedback, you can email me at yourconflictcoach@gmail.com. And until next time, stay grounded, stay curious, and stay unconflicted. Bye.